Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Today we're talking about opportunities to serve, particularly on Mercy medical teams. And we're going to talk with Tracy Quatham, manager for LCMS Life and Health Ministries. Hope you can stick around for the conversation. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. Find out more about them on our website. Go to kfuo.org. Look for the sponsor section. You'll find the CUW logo in the sponsor section there. Joining me in studio today, Tracy Quatham. She's manager for LCMS Life and Health Ministries, and here to talk with us about Mercy Medical Teams. Tracy, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have some time to talk with you and about this these really great opportunities to serve our brothers and sisters around the world, serve all people really around the world with these Mercy Medical Teams. How did these teams get started? Any idea?
They started in 2006, which mm-hmm. was before I was here, but Maggie Carner, our good friend, was the director mm-hmm. of Life and Health Ministry and had many phone calls from our LCMS Lutherans asking if this was a possibility, and it wasn't. So she said, why not? And now we have the program, thanks to her.
So who makes up a Mercy Medical Team? About how many people? What do they do? Where do they go? That sort of thing.
Usually between 7 and 14 people, mm-hmm. but a 1 week to 2 week trip, depending on the location and what we'll be doing. Doctors, nurses, medical people, paramedics, EMTs, and also lay people mm-hmm. Come along. Each team has an LCMS pastor who serves as team chaplain, and there's also a team leader who's been trained by us to do that.
Hmm. And there are just various places around the world where that have been designated to for us to partner with and serve. How do we determine these locations, these sites?
We come, our local Lutheran partners, our international church partners, our Lutheran brothers and sisters ask for us. Mm-hmm. So we only go when they invite us. They go through the regional directors. We go, they tell us what the needs are in their community, and then we assemble a team that can meet those needs and go and serve them.
So we have medical professionals and non-medical lay people or others who are interested in serving, just being helping hands and serve in a variety of ways as well, correct?
Right.
Pack up, pack up and head overseas to serve in one of these locations for 1 to 2 weeks. How do you prepare for a trip like this?
It's a lot of organization. The teams come from all over the country. We're not all from the same city. Lutheran congregations all over the country. Many people collect supplies, and then we need to get those over there as well. It's a big undertaking, mm-hmm. but it all comes together in the end.
We're going to talk with some previous participants who have served on Mercy Medical Teams today. What do you think we're going to hear from those who have served? And you've served on a team as well, correct?
I have. And what you will... I almost guarantee what you will hear. I've talked to hundreds of people that have gone on these teams, and almost inevitably they say it was life changing. Mm-hmm. The feeling seems to be that the team is served more than we serve mm-hmm. in the community.
Here we load up with gear and equipment and supplies and some training as some briefing beforehand and head over there to ready to serve and end up learning and gaining so much more.
Right. And most of the places where we do clinical work, where we see patients, prescribe medications, address mm-hmm. diseases and things. Many times, the people that we serve, this will be the only chance that they have for medical care, perhaps in their entire life. Hmm. So really makes an impact on the community. Because we partner with the local Lutheran church, mm-hmm. then the pastor, the congregation there can stay in touch with the people that are treated and really serves as an opening, an open door to share the gospel.
Where are we going this year?
We will be in Tanzania, which is a new one for mm-hmm. us, and then we'll be in Kenya. Those two are coming up pretty closely, so not really time to get on those teams, but certainly time to pray for mm-hmm. our participants as they prepare and for the people we'll be serving.
And to be on the lookout for their stories, too.
Yes.
I would imagine we'll see some photos post-trip, right?
Right. And then later in the year, we will be in Madagascar and Uganda, and then back to Madagascar again.
So how does one go about getting more information, maybe finding out if they could serve on a team?
The easiest thing to do is to go to our website, which is lcms.org/mercyteams. Mm-hmm. There's a link for more information, lots of flyers, downloads, videos that just tell about the program, and there's also an application there.
So you complete the application, pray about it, submit the application, and then and find out if you're a good match for one of the upcoming teams. Are there still spots available for any of the teams this year?
There are spots available for like I said, some of them are coming too closely, but the mm-hmm. ones that are a little bit further out, there are some spots available. And then when we start getting into maybe June or July, we'll be starting the dates for the following year as well.
Very good. Well, I'm excited to hear from some of the previous participants, some who have gone on their first trip, some who have gone on numerous trips, and looking forward to hearing their stories today. We'll come back in a little bit later on in the program to share these details again so that folks can find out how to serve on a team. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. Joining me by phone today, Sharon Thomas. She served on one of our Mercy Medical teams. Sharon, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here with you today.
Looking forward to hearing your story and learning about the team that you served on and what you learned while you were there. Sharon, tell us a little bit about your background and what you do and what led up to your interest and joining one of the Mercy Medical teams.
Well, I have been a nurse for many years, about 34 years now, mm-hmm. and I have always felt that God was leading me to do some type of work in missions. And I was married, you know, in my early 20s and raising a family. And I really looked at my healthcare work as being my mission field. I worked in a Christian organization and I was, you know, just really focused that this is what God wanted me to do. And one day a friend came up to me and said, "We're going on a mission trip to Africa with our church," which was our home church, Emmanuel Lutheran in Belvedere. "And we need at least one nurse to go. And so you need to give me a good reason why you can't go." And I looked at her and said, "I can't think of one. So sign me up." So that was my first Mercy Medical trip with LCMS back in 2008. And it was to Kenya. And I really wasn't too sure what it would entail. But we spent 6 months preparing for that as a group, you know, learning some Swahili terms and, you know, a few talking about the illnesses of the region and the locale and basically just learning about the country and the culture, which did help prepare me. But until you got there and really lived with them for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. you didn't get it. So it was a real eye-opening experience to get there.
Certainly, certainly. So you went to Kenya, and before you went there, really, how did you envision the people you would serve there? What did you know about the people of Kenya? What did you picture it would be like? And did you spend any time learning about the country, the culture before you got there?
We did spend a little bit of time. We met like once a month and talked about a little different segment each time, mm-hmm. The healthcare, the culture, education level, poverty situations, and the diseases of the country as well. And so I expected to find a country that had, you know, limited to no healthcare available to them and people who had a lot more problems with malnutrition and malaria, you know, a lot of the mosquito-borne illnesses. So that's really what I expected to see. And I did see that to some extent, but not on the scale that I anticipated. You know, I was used to, you know, working in a clinic where, you know, you'd see 10 or 15 patients. And we went to our first clinic, and there were about 250 patients waiting for us. Like, we're here for how long? And how are we going to do this?
It was
amazing.
What was your role on your team?
On each of my teams I've served with, and there have been 14 through LCMS so far.
Wow.
I've worked as a nurse on the team, and it fluctuates anywhere from doing triage assessments with the patient to intake to doing procedures with the physicians and doing some basic evaluations with patients and teaching with patients. We've assisted with deliveries with some, you know, like in Haiti, we assisted with doing traumatic amputations after the earthquake. What I've learned to expect is don't expect anything. Go in with eyes wide open and a heart ready to serve, and step in faith that God is going to get you through the crisis that you're in. And he always does.
What, tell me about the people you met while you were there. Maybe one or two people you met, what you learned from them, how you got to know them during your time there.
Okay. It's been amazing how you can develop relationships, whether it's with your interpreters. I know on my trips back to Kenya, I've been there 6 times, and I've had a couple of the same interpreters on each trip. And through the world of Facebook, I've been able to, you know, kind of see them as they've grown in their life and keep track tabs of them. Others, like in Indonesia when we went there, again, my interpreter and I have been great friends halfway across the world, and follow her and her story and her growth, and to see them both from a country with very little opportunity to be able to be an encourager to them and see them, you know, get education and stay focused on getting an education, and to be able to release themselves and their family from extreme poverty because they were fortunate enough to get that education. And so that's been great, having those relationships. And in some of my countries, I form a relationship. It's more of a, you know, a connection with some of the patients that I'll never forget. Just the way they responded to our care, their kindness, and in coming back to see new improvements in their life. A few years ago, we were in Kenya with a patient who, Selena had been, I'd seen her 3 times in the past, and because of polio, she was crippled and always, you know, crawling, not able to walk. And on one of our trips, we were able to get her a wheelchair. And to see, you know, after 3 years of working to get her first wheelchair, and to see her growth and just her whole demeanor change. You know, when someone's on the ground looking at you, they don't look up. But when you put them in a chair and they look at you in the eye, their whole demeanor changes. And it's like their whole respect for themselves changes, too. They're not so much of a victim anymore, that have a possibility of something new in their life. So she's a very special case to me.
Why would you encourage others to consider serving on one of these teams now, having served on 4 teams, is that right?
No, actually, I've been on a total of 17 mission trips.
Oh, wow.
And 14 with LCMS.
Wow.
Yeah, just what? 2008.
Why would you encourage others to serve on one of these Mercy Medical teams?
What you take out of this trip changes you. It is probably the most fulfilling volunteer work you'll ever do, because your work is appreciated. You know that even the smallest thing is making a difference and an impact in someone's life, because they know that somebody cared enough to donate their time and resources to come to them. It humbles the people, and they're so kind to you. You come home with just a fresh idea of what the real-world problems really are. It's not that, you know, my internet connection is slow today. It's that, gee, I don't have any clean water to feed my children or to cook with.
Mm-hmm.
It really does change you, and it makes you a more compassionate person, and it just, you know, it's not that I feel good about what I do, but I do feel so fulfilled that I know God used me in even just touching one or two lives, that maybe something happened to change their path in life. Had we not gone and had an interaction, you know, their path would have been different.
Sharon Thomas, having served on numerous Medical Mercy teams, thanks for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I'm Andy Bates. Joining me by phone today, Dr. Mary Hobus, the Assistant Dean of the Department of Nursing in the School of Professional Studies at Concordia University Irvine. She's the Director of Nursing and Professor there at CUI, and also a member of a previous Medical Mercy Team for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Mary, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you.
Looking forward to hearing about your experience with a Medical Mercy Team. Tell us a little bit about your work at Concordia University Irvine in the Department of Nursing.
In 2007, I transferred from Concordia University, Wisconsin to Concordia University Irvine to direct the nursing program. We began the first nursing program of the accelerated second degree BSN program, and we started an RN to BSN program, and we're just beginning a Master's of Science in Nursing.
Well, very good. Very good. What prompted you to consider the serving on a Mercy medical team? How did you find out about it, and what prompted you to commit and go?
Okay. Well, serving on a medical mission team has always been in my heart and mind. And I've always wanted to participate in a medical team, especially with a Christian group of men and women. I learned about mission work when I was a small child, so I've always had a desire to go. When I moved to California, developing the nursing program, that was one of the major goals for the nursing department, was to connect our nursing students to mission work and to support the Concordia University's Irvine mission statement. The opportunity became available when Tracy called, and she asked, would you be willing to go to Madagascar and bring some nursing students? And I said, sure. And so we took advantage of the opportunity to go to Madagascar. I was able to take two nursing students with us. And it was really an amazing thing, event to reach our goal for the nursing department, because that's a major part of our nursing philosophy, is to reach out to God's people and to share our Christian beliefs and values through our caring touch.
Mm. And so as you selected students to go with you on the trip, what were their thoughts about leaving their home, leaving their country for a while? How long was the trip? About 10 days?
The trip was 10 days. Both students were very excited to go on this mission trip. One of the students had participated in a mission trip to China before. The other student did not participate in any mission trip before. And so the students and I were very excited to take this trip, because we knew we were going to do hands-on care. And we also knew that we were going to touch God's people by what we did in Madagascar, because we had physicians, we had the medical team, we had a pharmacist, other nurses, EMTs on the team, plus pastors were there to support us. And so we were very excited to work with this team in Madagascar.
Hmm. Before the trip, how did you envision the people you would serve in Madagascar?
That's an interesting question. I had to do research. I knew it was an island off of Africa, but I needed to do some reading about what the people did in the country, what their beliefs and values were. And what I found out were the people were very beautiful people, and their faith is very strong. And it was such a joy to go to their country and to serve them and help them with their healthcare needs.
Hmm. So as you learned more about the country and culture, were you able to learn enough to feel comfortable? How well prepared did you feel once you landed in Madagascar and started really meeting the people there?
I felt very comfortable. Mm-hmm. The team had prepared us well. We all met together in France, and we prayed together. Dr. Harrison was instrumental in making us feel very comfortable at the hospital
with the patients and made us very comfortable where we were staying. We had resources available. I felt very joyful when I was there because we were supported and we put in long hours. One day we saw over 500 patients, and it was just such a joy. And just to experience that with others will always be in my heart, and I hope to and pray that someday I will have another opportunity. But I was very comfortable there. The people of Madagascar are very kind, they're very warm, and they're very welcoming to individuals that come into their communities.
So what, as you arrived in Madagascar, what was your role on the team serving there?
Sure. My role, I believe, was twofold. First, I was to be part of the team as a nurse and to use my skills as a nurse to take information, to help with wound care, or to just listen to patients and hear what their needs were. The second role that I played was being a nursing instructor to the two nursing students that were with me and talking with them, making sure they were comfortable, making sure that they were seeing the significance of this medical mission trip and making sure that they felt comfortable in the environment. So those were my two roles. And then probably a third role was being part of the team, helping support one another. We spent long hours at night making medications ready for the next morning. And we would sit together as a group and work together as a team. And as we sat there, our friendship, our partnership, our desire to work with these people grew each day. And so it was an exciting time. It was also a time to do a lot of reflection of one's own faith and looking at what our own priorities should be in everyday life. And I am very thankful for this experience and thankful for the many different roles that I played during this mission trip.
How did the students describe their experience, the nursing students who came with you?
Well, one nursing student I know will continue to do missionary work. She went over there with an open mind to Madagascar, and she loved those people every day. She was always there for the people of Madagascar and for the team members, and she had stated that she hopes that her and her husband will be able to do more mission trips in the future now that they have their children raised. The other student was very engaged with the processes in the pharmacy center. She also took information from the people. She, too, has a desire to reach out to other people in different countries.
Why encourage others to serve on one of these medical mercy teams?
Because I think it's a calling. You know, I think it's our vocation, such as nursing. It's a calling to serve God's people and children. And we are to make disciples. And what I found in Madagascar was that they actually were so representative of a strong faith that I learned from them just as much as they learned from me. And I would encourage anyone to go on these trips because it's life-changing. And it's awesome to be part of God's work or God's service to others. We get to see God's grace every day in these mission trips. And then we also get to pray for other people that have needs that we take for granted every day. And it kind of balances your life out when you go and you help others that are in need, because they have so little, and yet they have a most precious gift of being content and being happy compared to those of us that live with so much. And it's just an honor and a privilege to be able to work with other people that have the same mission or the same calling in their heart and mind.
Has this this experience serving on this team to Madagascar, has it affected your daily vocation, your work in the Department of Nursing at Concordia University Irvine? Does it shape how you approach classes, how you approach students and other professors?
Oh, yes. I think it has inspired me to continue to work with all of God's people, knowing that we are all created by Him and that we all need His help every day, and that I will continue as the director of nursing to seek out opportunities for our students to not only care for the people here in the United States, but also take a global approach. Because where we live in California, we have many visitors or many individuals from around the world. And it's important for us as nurses, Christian nurses, to be able to reach out to all people and accept all people so that we can share our gifts with others. And our gifts are sharing, of caring, listening, being compassionate, forgiving towards others. And it's such a joy to have had that experience. And I remember when I was driving into work after I returned, I said, "Okay, God, I'm ready to go again." Because it was a very exciting time for me. And I think they're not easy trips, but with God's help and with the members of the team, it's a beautiful experience.
Dr. Mary Hobus, she's the Assistant Dean of Department of Nursing in the School of Professional Studies and Director of Nursing at Concordia University, Irvine. Dr. Hobus, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Assisted suicide and euthanasia aren't really about being terminally ill. In the short time euthanasia's been legal, so-called safeguards are routinely circumvented. In Belgium, it's legal for elderly married couples to kill themselves even if they're in good health. Recently, an Australian elderly couple was praised for doing just that. Neither was ill or disabled. Both were scientists, explorers, and jokesters, what liberals would call enlightened. The worldly things bringing them joy were diminishing, so they decided to commit suicide. This month is the first anniversary of the death of my colleague, Dr. Jack Wilkie, who with several health issues died at 90. He'd tell this couple only God has the right to end life, and God has plans for them until they die, just like he did with Jack.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Hi, I'm Andy Bates, host of Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, and I'd like to let you know about a new free resource to assist you and your family as you join together in prayer. Visit lcms.org/unwrappingthegifts to find litanies, table graces, and more to support you in your times of prayer as a family. That's lcms.org/unwrappingthegifts.
The time of Lent in the church year is a time without decorations or greeting cards, but it is not lacking in wonderful music. If Sing for Joy, a program heard on this station, has not been part of your weekly routine, we invite you to change that. Make it part of your Lenten discipline this year. You'll be glad you did.
Sundays at noon on KFUO, the messenger of good news. In 1924, we embraced the new technology of that day, radio. Since that day, we've stayed on the cutting edge of technology. There are many easy ways to listen to Worldwide KFUO. On the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the gospel of Christ in both word and song. Now that's why you should listen. The where and the how, well, that's up to you. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Join Worldwide KFUO and Peace Lutheran Church in South St. Louis County for live Lenten worship on Wednesdays throughout the season of Lent. The broadcasts begin at 11 a.m. with Pastors Dennis Kastens and Joe Ferguson presiding over midweek Lenten worship leading up to Easter Sunday. Peace Lutheran Church, located at 737 Barracks View Road in South County, invites you to join these Lenten worship services in person or on Worldwide KFUO at kfuo.org, the messenger of good news.
Jesus once said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson. On the next Jubilation, I'll share faith-strengthening music, and I'll talk about how Jesus is laying down his life for you means you get to take yours up again, all the way to heaven. More on that taken up type life on the next Jubilation Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
I'm Andy Bates. Joining me by phone today, the Reverend Brian Martin, pastor at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Danville, Virginia, and a member of a Mercy Medical Team. Pastor Martin, welcome to Faith and Family.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to visit with you.
I'm looking forward to hearing about your experience serving on a Mercy Medical Team. What, Pastor, what prompted you to consider serving on an LCMS Mercy Medical Team?
Well, I'll tell you, for a while now, I've been thinking about something else I could be involved in, that wasn't related to my local parish. I just have felt this urge to do something more mission-oriented. But I also realized that I couldn't be gone for very long. It's just impractical now for me to leave the church for, you know, a few months or even a couple of years. And so I started to do some searching on our Synod website, mm-hmm. and I came across this thing called Mercy Medical Teams. The more I read about it and I watched a couple of the videos, the more I thought, you know, this is something I can do. I can, with the church's support, my family's support, I can be gone for a while to aid in, you know, helping others with medical needs as well as bringing the gospel of Jesus to them. And so I decided to get in touch with the manager of the program. One thing led to another, and before I knew it, I was signed up for a trip to Madagascar.
What did, before the trip, how did you envision the people that you would be serving? What did you think it would Madagascar would be like? What did you think the people and the culture would be like?
Yeah. You know, again, I went online to find out something about the, I didn't even know what the people in Madagascar were called, to tell you the truth. Discovered that they are called Malagasies.
Mm-hmm.
Found out where it's actually a large island, fourth largest island in the world, right off the coast of Africa. And so I read about the people, real interested to find out there were so many Lutherans in Madagascar. But I learned more about who they were, what they did, and this thing I did discover that it is, compared to our American idea of culture and life and all, very poor people. And I'd had some experience with that in the service years ago, both in Europe and in Southeast Asia. So I had an idea of what I might be walking into, but it was just that. You don't really know until you get there. But I wasn't, I was expecting a certain level of poverty and, kind of a backwardness and all. And that's pretty much what I found.
What was your role on the team?
Well, now this was interesting. When I found out about Mercy Medical Teams and really got serious about it, I discovered that they already, for the team, the trip coming up last fall, they already had a chaplain assigned, but the people in charge thought it might be a good idea if I joined him as a chaplain on that team, so that I kind of get my feet wet with how things happen with the team and so on and so forth. And as it turned out, it was a good experience for me. I kind of had a chance to watch and listen to what was going on, but then also was able to step in. He got sick halfway through the trip, and so was able to step in more of a proactive role as the team chaplain. And so with that, you know, a lot of prayer, a lot of prayer for others, prayers for us, of course, devotional work in the morning and evening, kind of being, you know, as a chaplain would, aware of the people around me, not only our team, but, gosh, all the locals we dealt with, and we work with hundreds of people each day. So it made for a real busy day.
I bet. Tell me about some of the people you met while you were serving there in Madagascar.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Of course, there was our team, and that was a broad range of, you know, nurses, paramedical people, EMTs, that sort of thing. And, of course, the indigenous people who, oh, they're just, you know, I've met a lot of folks from other countries and been involved in their countries and all. But these Malagasy people are just, they're beautiful people. I mean, they're just, given all that they have to deal with every day, they are very loving and very open and very hopeful. A couple of people that really stood out on that trip, one of them was our doctor. We didn't have an American doctor with us for this one, but we had a Malagasy doctor. And I had a chance to watch him off and on through the whole time we were there. Not only did he care for the sick and injured at the Lutheran hospital that he works in, but he was there in the morning and in the evening to watch over us and see that we had what the team needed. And, of course, all day out in the field with us, seeing patient after patient. I was just amazed at the energy this man had, and not just in treating people, but in his love for others. I mean, Christ came through so clearly in what he did. And if that wasn't enough to kind of have me interested, one of the drivers we had, who I found out was also a Lutheran pastor, drove us all over the place, carried the boxes in and out of the van, set up his workstation and the clinics each day, and just a tireless person. Just amazing people, and caring for their own, and then also watching over us to help keep us safe and healthy.
What did you learn from this trip that you've brought back with you now that shapes your daily vocation as a pastor in the parish and those you serve in your community?
I would have to say that first and foremost, there is such a need to bring the gospel of Jesus to all of the lost. The least we talk about in the kingdom, a pressing need, not only in our own country, but certainly overseas, where, given the difficulties they have in just day-to-day life, just eking out a living so that they can make it to the next day, they still, the Malagasy people we dealt with, still found their way to church each and every Sunday. And not via bus or their own vehicles. They walked. And they carried their children, and the time of year we were there was very hot and very dusty, but that didn't deter them from being in church. So bringing the gospel, so important, and we began each day with telling them a little bit about who we were and why we were there, our love for them as Christian to Christian and all, but they're so, also medically, they're so underserved. And they were just so, I'm trying to think the word I would use, but not pleased, but so, received us so graciously, knowing that we could make some kind of a difference in their health, if only for that one day. So just extremely rewarding in that sense. You know, having seen this in the past, I tend to forget that not everyone lives as we Americans live. In fact, most of the people on Earth don't. And they really do try and make it from day to day and all. And there's so much we have to offer. And they're just such gracious recipients of the care we provide. So it was humbling. I mean, I was asked this question, a similar question by others when I came home. And the only word that kept coming to me was the word humbling. I was humbled to be serving as a disciple of Jesus in that land to a people who were just so open to our presence.
Yeah. What encouragement might you have for others who might consider serving on Mercy Medical Team?
Well, again, I have to point to the need. There's just such an overwhelming need around the world. And I know our Mercy Medical Teams go to several other countries, but if they're at all what I saw in Madagascar, and I'm assuming they will be, whether it's in Africa or wherever else, there's just this not only need to help them medically, help them with their health-related issues and help them with their sanitation issues, but to let them know that they're not alone, that there are fellow believers back in the States who pray for them, who care for them, who maybe can't be there physically, but are able to send donations to help them. It's just, it really, for me, it really connected in a deeper way those who love our Lord and care for others by being in their presence.
Pastor
so
Brunt.
I would say, for anybody who feels that sense of, gosh, what can I do? How can I get out there and make a difference? This is just a wonderful opportunity. You don't have to have advanced degrees and this and that. We had folks who had worked in and around the medical field who could help. There's always something for someone to do. I mean, I was, aside from the chaplain working this and that, I was directing people here and there. I've got a medical background, so I was ready to step in if needed, but there... There's just plenty for everyone to do, and there aren't enough people doing it. So I would just encourage them to look beyond their own community, their own church, and see what it is. You know, go to the website and look at this Mercy Medical Team program. Excuse me. See what it is they can do to step in and help others. It's really that simple.
Pastor Brian Martin from Christ the King Lutheran Church, Danville, Virginia, serving on the Mercy Medical Team. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Oh, glad to help. Good talking to you.
I'm Andy Bates. Joining me in studio today, Pastor Lonnie Etherton, and he's serving Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Pilotnau, Missouri, and St. John Lutheran Church in Bismarck, Missouri. Pastor Etherton, you've served on Mercy Medical Team. One team or multiple teams?
Two different times.
Two different times. Well, welcome to Faith and Family. Look forward to hearing your story today, learning about your experience with the Mercy Medical Teams. Tell me, let's talk a little bit about your service as a pastor. You now serve at Emmanuel and Pilot Knob and St. John and Bismarck, two smaller congregations out in rural Missouri, beautiful part of the state. And but you, how long have you been serving as a pastor?
Actually, my wife and I started out as Lutheran school teachers, and I was a teacher for 11 years, and then finished up at the seminary and became a pastor. So, goodness, more than 30 years now as a pastor. Served at St. Paul in Jackson for a number of years, and then at Our Savior in Fenton.
Well, thanks be to God for those many years of service to His church. And now... serving Emmanuel Pilot Knob and the folks at St. John in Bismarck, Missouri. What prompted you to consider serving on a Mercy Medical Team?
Well, I have to give credit, first of all, to the Reverend Dr. Luther Meinson and his wife, Jenny. They were missionaries in India for many years, and they were members of my congregation to Our Savior in Fenton. Mm-hmm. And they got me going on my first mission trip to India back in 97. And then, of course, I have to also give credit to our leadership meeting for leaders for mission teams that I attended in 2012, because there we had leaders from our regular mission teams and also the Mercy Medical Team. So I got fascinated with that whole different kind of ministry that takes place with medical missions.
And so before the trip, where did you go on your first trip?
They were both to Kenya.
Kenya. Mm-hmm. What did you know? What did you picture or envision the people of Kenya like? What did you picture the environment being like before you went?
Well, of course, you know a little bit about it. A country in Africa, there on the equator, and you read books and get whatever information you can. And our LCMS orientation was very good at informing us also. But, you know, they're regular people just mm-hmm. like you and I, different culture and habits and things like that. And yet, you know, they all have the same basic needs. So fellow Christians, you know, is what you're looking for. And that's what we found. 85% of the people in Kenya are Christians. Mm-hmm.
So what did you know? You mentioned the culture being different. What did you know about the culture before you went to Kenya?
Well, just what I read mm-hmm. about, and that was quite informative. It is a completely different kind of culture with 45 or so different tribes and 60-some mm-hmm. different languages throughout the country. But English and Swahili being the main official languages, I knew that I could do some communication, but I knew there'd be a lot of different cultural adjustments when I got there.
What was your role on the first team?
First team, I started out as chaplain. That's what I applied for and was mm-hmm. accepted as. But then our leader had to bow out, so they asked me to be the leader of that team also. And then the second Kenya trip, they just said, do it all. So I was chaplain and also the team leader.
What... Tell me about some of the people you met while you were there in Kenya, the first trip or second trip, whether it's the people you served with or the people you were serving.
Well, it's interesting. Thank you. You know, it was impressed on me that my main job, so to speak, or ministry was to the team itself. Mm-hmm. Of course, I was anxious to work with the people of Kenya also. But it was really very good to meet different members of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod from throughout the country that formed a team. So that was the first blessing there, just getting to know different people from different areas of life, different parts of the country. But then just to meet the people there, it was just so good. They were so welcoming with open arms, you know, and I think they looked upon us a little bit higher than we actually were. Of course, we were just people like they were, but they were certainly feeling, I think, blessed to have a team come in and help them for their medical needs, especially, but spiritual needs also.
Were there one or two individuals that stood out, whether on the team or the people you met there that you've gotten to know?
Let's see, how long do we have? Oh, so many. You know, it's interesting because I really found I just loved being with the people and with the children especially, and I got to hold a lot of babies. It was just wonderful in so many ways. But some of the really meaningful conversations I had actually happened on the plane going mm-hmm. over. And that happened a couple times from Amsterdam down to Nairobi. On this last mission trip, I met sat next to a girl, a young lady who was coming back from Dartmouth College. She was from Nairobi. She grew up a Christian. But having spent her first year in the United States at Dartmouth, she had her doubts. She said she no longer believed in God. So we had a lot of interesting conversations about mm-hmm. that. I was trying to recall with her her Christian upbringing and what that meant and some of those things. So that was quite an experience for me to be able to talk with her and witness to her and also listen to her where she was coming from and what kind of an effect. And it really made me sad to think that the United States had such a bad effect on her. But that's college, university atmosphere anyway, I'm afraid.
How has your experience of serving on these Mercy medical teams affected your daily vocation, the congregations you serve? How has it affected how you serve in those congregations, the flocks that you serve today?
Yeah, thank you. That's a great question. My wife and I were talking about that earlier today. She and I went together on a mission trip to Poland. And it kind of opens your eyes in many ways, both to actually be there and to mm-hmm. see what kind of life people live, and it opens you up to what you only hear about growing up, that is the missions out there someplace. That personal experience is quite meaningful in so many ways. And I think it opens your eyes to the missions back home also. It was impressed upon me again and again, just in my thinking, okay, out here is where the mission field is, but no, God's calling me back home, because mm-hmm. the real mission field that God was calling me to was right here in America.
Hmm. How might you encourage others who might be considering serving on one of these teams?
I always have encouraged my members to support the work of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and the people who are out there on a regular basis. That's where I believe the real mission work takes place. However, it's such a wonderful opportunity when a person has the opportunity to go on a mission trip like this. And so I would encourage everyone to consider it at least one time, because I think it is a great experience. Mm-hmm. It not only is a great experience personally for each individual, but you can imagine it means so much to their family when they come back home and start sharing that, and to their congregation, as their congregation becomes part of the mission also, mm-hmm. both in the support of that individual, but also simply in taking in from a person they know that real life experience out in the mission field.
Absolutely. Pastor, thank you so much for being my guest today on Faith and Family, sharing your stories of these Mercy medical teams. And any hopes to go on another team in the future?
Oh, goodness, I don't know. We'll see, Lord willing.
Thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thank you.
It was so great to hear these stories from participants serving on Mercy medical teams. And Tracy Quatham here in studio with me today. She's the manager for LCMS Life and Health Ministries and a participant herself on a Mercy medical team. And the key person to talk to when you want to serve on a Mercy medical team. Now, Tracy, you shared with us at the beginning of the program some of the opportunities coming up this year, some of the locations where we'll be traveling and serving. And again, you mentioned Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda,
Madagascar. And then if we have more invitations, we could possibly add more dates as well.
Wow. So we have how many trips this year so far?
So far we have six scheduled.
Six scheduled and maybe even more. These stories that these servants have shared with us about their experience, certainly encouraging and inspiring, motivating to consider how God might use us as individuals, but not only as individuals, as a whole team as well, to be ambassadors, representatives of Christ, and to be servants, hands of mercy on these trips. How can we find out more?
Go to our website, which is www.lcms.org/mercyteams. There's everything you need to know there. Mm-hmm. If you have more questions, there's a link to email me, and there's also an application.
Some might ask, how much, I know I can take time off work for something like this, but what about money? How much money should I set aside? How do I plan for this trip?
It is a financial commitment. Mm-hmm. Right now we have scholarships for university students mm-hmm. who are pursuing health careers to help with the costs. We have scholarships for at certain times for LCMS pastors who would like to serve as team chaplain. Mm-hmm. Other times, some people are blessed to be able to just pay for the trip themselves, but most times people need to do some fundraising.
Sure.
And we can help with that.
And so the information about scholarships may be available.
Look online, and if you have questions, mm-hmm. just email me.
Certainly. All right. Well, thank you, Tracy, for your time, for sharing this information with us. Excited to get the news out about these upcoming trips, and can't wait to hear from this year's teams as well.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You've been listening to Faith and Family. To find out more, again, lcms.org/mercyteams, and you can find out more about these teams and how you could be a part of a Mercy team as well.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.